Tonight is the first night of Hanukkah, which is a beloved though minor holiday in the Jewish tradition. Not all of us here this morning are familiar with the roots of the holiday, so I'm going to share that information first before I explore the meanings we Unitarian Universalists, along with other non-Jews, might learn. Hanukkah is one of the minor holidays because it is not mandated in the Torah, the first five books of the Hebrew Bible. In fact, the story of Hanukkah is not found in the Bible, but is recounted in one of the 14 books of the Apocrypha. Apocryphal texts come in many different genres: letters, wisdom or devotional writings, apocalypse, histories, and historical fiction. Why these texts were labeled apocryphal, meaning hidden things, is the subject of some debate. Some argue that it is because they contained mysterious or esoteric writing too profound for the uninitiated. Others argue that the writings were spurious or heretical. Either way, they have value to us because they help us to understand Judaism during the Hellenistic period, roughly 330 to 60 before the Common Era, as well as the century of Roman rule that followed, during which time Jesus of Nazareth was born and Christianity developed in the wake of his death. The story that led to the rituals of the Hanukkah celebration is a history of the revolt of the Maccabees over the tyrannical Seleucid regime. There are actually four books given the name Maccabees, but only the first two are about the Maccabean revolt. Second Maccabees uses highly charged language, exhortation, exaggeration, and other methods to stimulate the imaginations and emotions, the pathos, of readers. We can infer history from this kind of writing, but it is not as reliable as what we view as objective journalism. First Maccabees, on the other hand, is an account of the Seleucid persecutions and the rebellion and rise of the Maccabees, which took place sometime between 175 and 143 before the Common Era. They were reacting to religious, economic, and political tension after years of accumulated social and cultural conflict under Greek rule. The local political authority, King Antiochus IV, was determined to eradicate the distinctive identity of the Jewish population. The Jews' sacred place of worship in Jerusalem, the temple, was plundered, and their religious practices were outlawed. Resistors, those who obeyed the laws of Torah rather than the king, were put to death publicly, including the massacre of people who would not, indeed could not, fight on the Sabbath. The text was probably written down in Hebrew first and then translated into Greek. It was likely written in the first half of the first century BCE, the end of the Hellenistic period, before the Roman general Pompey conquered Jerusalem in 63 BCE. In the story, the Hasmonean family of Mattathias, the priest, and his eldest son, Judah the Maccabee, sometimes known as the Hammer, led their people to victory, evicting the Syrian Greeks from Palestine. They restore religious freedom and cleanse and restore and rededicate the temple in Jerusalem. Hanukkah means dedication or rededication. The book of Maccabees does not include any mention of the miracle of the oil, but rabbinic tradition has taught that after the temple had been cleansed and the priests were ready to rekindle the seven-branched temple menorah, candelabrum, they could find only one jug of undesecrated oil, enough to keep the menorah burning for one day. Miraculously, the oil kept burning for 8 days, as Alfred Kolach explains in his Handbook for the Jewish Home. This is the reason for the Hanukkah menorah having 8 branches plus a 9th cup holding the candle with which to light the others. The only purpose of the shamash is to serve the others. It is not one of the official menorah lights. After the service, you can come look at a few examples that Nina Lomax has brought in. As we heard in the Time for All Ages story, A Light in Every Window, it is traditional to light or place the lighted menorah on a windowsill facing the street to serve as a reminder of all the miraculous victories that saved the Jewish nation in the days of the Maccabees. The response by the overwhelmingly white Christian community members to vandalism of Jewish property in December of 1993 by white supremacists who had moved into Billings, Montana with the express purpose of making the town safe from gays, blacks, Jews, and others who the Aryan nation deems undesirable, came belatedly, actually, after a year filled with repeated racist, homophobic, and anti-Semitic attacks. Putting up paper menorahs published in the Billings Gazette or real ones was suggested by Margaret McDonald, the executive director of the Montana Association of Churches, who remembered learning about how many Danish people during, including the King of Denmark, sewed the yellow Star of David onto their clothing when Nazis decreed that all Danish Jews must wear this symbol in 1943, 50 years prior to the Billings incident. It was a show of solidarity that made it impossible for the Nazis to single out Jews from the rest of the population. McDonald wanted Billings residents to show solidarity to the 50 Jewish families in their community of about 87,000. The story about the yellow stars in Denmark reminds me of the Passover story, wherein God's instruction is for every Jewish household to mark their doorposts with blood from the Paschal Lamb, thus signaling who should be spared the plague visited upon the firstborn throughout Egypt by the angel of death. There are similar stories to the one from Denmark from other places impacted by the Holocaust. They are subversive stories, stories that turn the biblical text on their heads. The miracle of Montana, as Ruth Abush Magder put it in a 2016 blog post, is such an upending. She wrote, "The power of what happened in Montana was that Jews did not strike out on their own, but came together with others. Light increased because the plight of the few was shared and taken on by the many. Today, as in 1993, we are faced with the threat of white supremacists who are hard at work defiling real and virtual spaces with graffiti and policies that are similarly meant to make the United States a narrow and intolerant place. Americans together, like the people of Billings, have the power to fight against this narrow and hateful vision of the United States. Even as hate crimes increase, we should not assume that those who are not like us are filled with animosity. We need to reach out and form coalitions." More than 25 years later, and 3 years into what history will either see as an aberration, a minor blip, or as the start of a new era in American political history, let's hope it's the former and not the latter. The paper menorahs of Billings, Montana, and the Jewish celebration of Hanukkah have plenty to teach us. The book of 1 Maccabees is first and foremost a story of resistance. The Maccabeans are a people who, in the face of oppression and religious persecution, persevere. They are survivors. The right to freedom of religious expression is a central theme. Religious freedom is enshrined in the Constitution of the United States. No group of people, however they identify themselves, can impose their beliefs on another group in this country, nor can they discriminate, harass, or injure others on the basis of real or perceived differences. If they do, they will answer to the rule of law. Now, you and I all know that protected categories and classes of people have not always been a given for many of our fellow humans, citizen and non-citizen alike. The non-discrimination clause is being added to bit by bit over the course of our country's history. We also know that gains in those protections have been eroded over the last few years. The rights of LGBT plus people, especially trans folk, are under attack by the current administration in Washington, D.C. I'm not sure if we are still taking two steps forward for every one step backwards. Only time will tell. Depending on your perspective, you can cast the Hanukkah story in any number of ways. With a hindsight from the 21st century, many interpret the story as a struggle against assimilation. Not all of the Jewish people in the Hellenistic period were against incorporating the best aspects of Greek culture and learning. In their eyes, the Hasmoneans were religious fundamentalists, dead set against reforms. We Unitarian Universalists value Reformation. We are inheritors of a living tradition that is the product of the radical wing of the Protestant Reformation. We recognize the value in the evolution of our worldview as scientific knowledge increases our understanding, for example. Yet our first principle, the inherent worth and dignity of every person, also says that there is value in being our unique selves, that we don't have to assimilate into mainstream culture to gain respect. It's a tightrope walk, though, because we must show the same respect for the differences of others. It is also true that the Hasmoneans were living under the thumb of a foreign government. They had been colonialized. And those who did not welcome Hellenistic culture were being oppressed. So the struggle for liberation is a real part of this history. Can we see in it similar experiences and motivations as those of our neighbors who identify as indigenous, black, or persons of color in their struggle for liberation? Can we white people engage in conversations for liberation without getting defensive and claiming righteousness? Judaism is a religion that emphasizes orthopraxis, right practice, which is why there is a strong complement of social justice values with which we UUs can relate. Sarah Hurwitz of the American Jewish World Service wrote in Eight Nights, Eight Jewish Values, Reflections for Hanukkah on the Jewish Obligation to Build a Better World, about values that I can safely say that we share. Some of these express the values implied by our first principle. Hurwitz describes it as the infinite worth of each human life, which is coupled with the reality that each of us is entirely unique, with a unique contribution to make to the world. The moral stance of equality for all humankind appears in our second and our seventh principles. The children's version of principle two says, be kind in all we say and do. And Hurwitz lists being thoughtful about the words we speak as one of the eight values upon which we should reflect during this holiday season. You may or may not be familiar with Jewish concepts such as tikkun olam, tzedakah, and chesed. They are understood as repair the world, justice, and loving kindness, respectively. Each one is a verb, an action, not a noun. All are interwoven into loving the stranger as ourselves. As Hurwitz writes, no matter how powerful or secure you may one day become, your fundamental moral orientation must always be in the direction of the outsider, for in some essential and eternal way, the plight of the stranger was and always will be your own. For the residents of Billings, Montana, the plight of the marginalized and oppressed, so treated by a small minority of hate-filled people, became the plight of the majority of residents when they decided to join their Jewish neighbors in living the values embedded in the Festival of Lights. We are, sadly, and it was reported yesterday morning during weekend edition, living in a time of heightened anti-Semitism. This year, even more acts of anti-Semitism than last year or the year before. Today, as much as ever, I hope that we know the inseparable connection between justice-making and spiritual growth, and that we recognize, as Dr. Elias Ortega, the president of Meadville Lombard Theological School, says, that the spiritual is political, and political is also spiritual. We cannot disconnect the work of justice from the task and discipline to develop and cultivate rich spiritual lives, because rich spirituality is the fuel for our justice work, and it prevents burnout. Whether we are looking at a Hanukkah story from 2 millennia ago or a mere quarter of a century ago, through interpretation, we can learn about the values of respect and compassion. We recognize that actions based in love are virtuous and worthy of emulation, and we can do all of this through ritual, word, and song, and have fun at the same time. In a world without end, may it be so.